Hello, this is Kyle Jones. We are doing a lecture called Sacred Percussion, A Cultural and Linguistic Journey. I, as an etymologist, like to study the meanings of words, the history, if you will, the etiology of where a word began and where it has come in its morphology to be. I believe that studying languages is the greatest historical, technique that we can use to find out about a culture by the usages of the languages to their social phenomena and, if you will, their semiotic commitment. That is to say, who says what, when, and how, and why, most importantly. Well, we come to our first word, sacred, in our title, Sacred Percussion, A Cultural and Linguistic Journey. And we find that the word sacri comes to its fullness. It is an Oscian and Umbrian word, and that is an old Italic language, possibly going back 1200 BC, possibly further. It simply means this, that which is separate from its surroundings. If you will, the word Farsi comes to mind, or Persian, which means that which is holy, but more importantly, that which is kept sacred or kept away from the rest. We have a more technical term in the Greek, the itiotas or eidotake, which means that which I see, I do place or serve. We would find the meaning idiot to come from that. Yet the meaning of idiot, as we would say, means foolish person or ignorant person. But back then it meant simply someone who was not within the threadwork of society. So to the fullness of the Indo-European word sacri, we might find it there, hidden in the Oscian and the Umbrian language. We do see that the word sacred is used to mean to make something holy. It is a medieval usage. It is a participle, or if you would, sacred, a past participle in Middle English that is no longer used. The word that is made into something sacred is called sacra, which is related to sacri, that which is distinguished and apart from the rest. In the fullness of this word, if we can go back into our Semitic language, we might find the word kadosh. Kadosh has somewhat of the same meaning, if you will, that sacri means. Kadosh is Hebrew for the word to be set apart. We find that the image to this deity of the Jews was set apart. Only in its transcendence, if you will, did it come to a term of condescension. This condescension was made known in the image, or the images, through which the priests went into the most holy place and worshiped God in his, what Isaiah called, the train, or the verbal motion of God. These are other terms that we could deem as eia, which is the formative for the word Elohim, or Yahweh, which means to cause, to be. Again, a movement of verbal sense, that which rushes upon the thing and causes something else to be, if you will, an agency or an agent of change. But furthering this term, holy, we might go back further to the Akkadian, the Elim, which again calls for the god, Elo, or Elohim in the Hebrew, but simply Elia, which is the god which is separate. Well, for right now, we won't go back any further than the Akkadian language, though that we can. We are now going to face ourselves with what is a sacred percussion? Well, in this sense, sacred percussion can be used in what we would call stage and setting. Stage and setting, let's just say a Shakespearean play, is established by author who predetermines the path of the actors on the stage if you will, the stage of significance, or that which signifies its meaning. We find in the Eleusinian mysteries, or mysteries, we find in the Dionysian mysteries, a ritual of sacred activity where one transcends themselves from the body to what we call ecstasis, or to stand out of, if you will, the mind that goes mad and finds oneself detached or separate from this world and joined with the deity. We have depictions of the monads, or the dancing women who went into an orgiastic frenzy, dancing in circles with drums, something called a tabret, a sistrum, and what might be likened to the Brazilian berimbau, which is a stringed instrument that one hits with a gourd on it, has kind of a bending overtone to it. These percussions, or idiophones, if you will, do find their oldest depictions in the cave walls of Catalhoyuc, which we can date roughly to the Paleolithic era, roughly 5600 BC. Past that, mention of drums might be hidden in the older Kartvelian language, which is a Proto-Sumerian language called Taki. Though it denotes the verb, the action of the pounding or beating, it does also connote, if you will, that something such as an idiophone or drum is struck. We do find a similar word used in holy acts, if you will, of rituals of death and resurrection in the texts of Inanna. One such drum is akin, I do believe, to the Kartvelian taki, called the Tigi drum. This drum is struck in accord with, I believe, a ritual, once again bearing, if you will, the denotation of death and resurrection of Dumuzi. We do have another drum akin to this Kartvelian and Sumerian word, Tigi, called Taiko in the Japanese culture. We find that the Inuit, or earlier Japanese language, is akin to Finnish, Baltic, and steppe region languages. We might call the hypothetical Volga Bend a reality, if you will, the trade route called Volga Bend, where the people from the steppe region of Georgia, southern Russia, into Russia, the Siberian plains, all the way to the Baltics, such as the Finnish culture, or Lapish Sami culture, all the way east to Japan and also China, but mainly in Japan, from Finland to Japan, we find a linguistic tie. These cultures were probably trading goods, passing on poetry and also artifacts, musical instruments, and styles of music. The Tigi drum in Sumeria is found in Taiko, etymologically speaking, and our Chinese Daigo drum, which is also a type of large drum. We do see that each drum has its usage in a special occasion, such as the observance of the stars, and also, once again, ritual of death and rebirth. We might now turn to the psychological effect of this ritual for sacred music, sacred drumming. We might return to the old Greek god Dionysus. We could look at E.R. Dodd's work concerning those irrational Greeks, and if I might read an excerpt from page 77 of this tremendous work on a treatment of ecstasis, or ecstasy. For Dionysus was the master of magical illusions, who could make a vine grow out of a ship's plank, and in general enable his votaries to see the world, as the world was not. As the Scythians in Herodotus put it, quote, Dionysus leads people on to behave madly, end quote, which could mean anything from letting yourself go, quote, end quote, to becoming, quote, end quote, possessed. The aim of the cult was ecstasis, which again could mean anything from, quote, taking yourself out of yourself, end quote, to a profound alteration of personality. Well, anyway, this alteration of personality or letting oneself go can also be found in, let's just say, a jazz club, listening to your favorite band, drinking red wine, and just letting yourself go, letting the inhibitions leave. This might be the modern day equivalent of something of such an old adage or old age. But what I think, if we could for a moment, is turn to the idea and the word etymon of sense. If one has their senses about them, one sees in logic the signs that are necessary to make a conclusion, to think logically, to have deduction, to have, if you will, syllogism in language, to find points of reference and conclusion. Well, studying the word sense, a long time ago, I was reading a work by G.K. Chesterton concerning sense, that once that a person leads from the signposts of sense, one can also find the word semion or semen, that which generates a linkage system. When one follows, let's say, the signs, this genealogical line, to the final destination, to where all things pointed to, then there's a place what we would call nonsense. We have arrived. There are no more signals needed. And interestingly enough, the hysterion of the ancient Greek word, if you will, for the temple, the high temple that was actually used in the biblical literature, or should I say into the Bible, the word hysterion meant a place of total laughter. If someone is hysterical, one is out of their senses. And in the aspect of hysterion or hysterical, the Greeks understood it to be a place of hilariousness, if you will, the hilasterion, another term used for the high seat of God. If you will, it would be like telling jokes and one laughing themselves out of their mind. You can't say word for word what made you laugh. You can't account for, during the process of being hysterical, one can't account for what made you laugh. It was all of the factors coming together at one point to push you to that high seat of God. Therefore, the ultimate term in a religious setting would be that one is in his or her most hilarious moment. One has been brought out of the signs, out of their senses, to that ekstasis, or ek meaning out of, stasis, the standing place. I now turn to the concept of aesthetic arrest, proposed by Thomas Aquinas, James Joyce, and finally summated by the Italian scholar Umberto Eco, who wrote a tremendous work, though not too thick, not very terse, if you will, a treatment called The Aesthetics of Chaosmos. Now, many ideas are being brought to the forefront of the universe or the chaos and cosmos, the orderly arrangement, and the chaos, the fragmented, if you will, or disarrayed act. Bringing it all together as one. One might say that chaos is subsumed in cosmos as the idea, if you will, in a type of one turn or university. But the idea of aesthetic arrest on a simple level means that one is taken to a place through art, through music, through painting, etc. The act of drumming for me in sacred percussion, defined, would mean that which is given to both audience and the practitioner of playing a holy sense of rhythm. That is to say that both audience and practitioner, or artist or poet, is giving to one another the gift of observation within the silence of emotion and the mind, the stillness. There might be a sense that we could say the word yoga. And in the Oxford Sanskrit Dictionary, one finds the word yoga defined as genius or joined or etymologically bound. And that is to say that the words are strung together in a coherent sequatorial line, something that is not disenfranchised, but that these senses are bringing you to that point of, once again, ecstasis, or in the process of all genius, one can relax and rest in the bed of such a thing. The Proto-Indo-European bad and bade come very close together as the formative word for the word faith, that which holds hope within. But the word faith does not mean blind faith. It means to hold to the substanding things or the substance of the things that one knows to be correct. Therefore, again, we return to the etymology or the linkage system of facts that lead to truth. And the word truth is the word taro in the Proto-Indo-European, which means root, stem, and branches. That which goes from the root forms the stem and branches out. It is a collective thing. Well, yoga fulfills those terms and should be used in its clinical sense more often. Anyway, as this day's lecture is ending, I would like to say thank you. If you'd like to have more information on sacred percussion, you can contact me at all lowercase letters, kylejones37075@gmail.com. That is kylejones37075@gmail.com. Thank you very much.